Good morning and Merry Christmas. If you have your Bibles, trust me on this one. I know some of you are going to say this scripture and you're going to think, what in the world is he doing? If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Isaiah 53. So it's been a good week. It's been a tough week, but it's been a very good week. Let me tell you why it's been a good week. It's been a good week because God's provision, God's providence, God's comfort, God's grace, God's peace has been with us. At the same time, let's face the reality. It's been a devastating week. Not only just in our church family with the loss of a precious young child, but also in our community with the loss of two other precious young children. And then also in our nation with the shootings, with all the chaos that's going on in our world. And you know, sometimes you come to those points to where you almost have what I call, well, what they call an existential crisis. I come to that point this week. Matter of fact, I come to that point Sunday night. And in Sunday night, God completely changed what I had originally intended to preach for Christmas. Because, you know, we think of Christmas, we think of Christ coming to this earth. But, you know, that's only one small piece of the story, right? That's a very small piece of the story. But before we get into that, before we get into this scripture, I want to say thank you to all of you. I want to say thank you for your prayers, your support. I want to say thank you for being a church. A church that loves on people when they need to be loved on. And let's just face it, that is what we need right now. We need to be loved on. And one of the best ways that we can love on each other, and this one's so taken for granted so many times, the best way that we can love on each other is to pray for each other. And that's what I desire for us to do right now. I don't want you to listen to what I'm praying because you know things that are going on in your family. You know things that are going on with you. And I want you to be praying for those situations. I'm going to be praying for specific situations, but I honestly want you to tune into God and love on people through your prayers, through lifting up your heart to them. So will you join me in prayer? Father, thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for being God. Father, this week has been one of those weeks to where all of us have been left scratching our heads. Many of us are trying to figure out what's going on, not only in our lives, but also in our community and in our world. And Father, the one thing I love about times like this is there are a majority of people that do run to you during these times. And that's the only place we can run. Matter of fact, Lord, you're the only one that we can come to today with the answers we need, with the hope we need, and like we're going to talk about today, with the love we need. Father, I ask, Lord, specifically, that you continue to be with the Young and Chastain family. My heart still grieves for them, as I know their heart is grieving as well. But I pray, God, that you would continue to be the comfort and sustaining hope that they need in the days to come. Father, we want to lift up Dominic and Shiloh. There are no words, Lord. What they experienced this week, and not only losing their home, but also losing two of their children, has shaken many of us to our core. But at the same time, Lord, the things that I've heard taking place right now to provide for this family are nothing short of the work of your hands. Yes, you're using your people to do it, but I want to thank you, Lord, for how you've spurred it in these people's hearts to show the love that you've showed us so deeply and richly. Father, I pray for our nation. With all the shootings, with all the chaos, with all the division, Father, we need true hope, a hope that leads to something so much far greater than what we are in now. But also, Lord, we need your continued love. Father, as we dig into this passage is a reminder of just how much you love us. And Father, I know many of us struggle, even myself, with those questions. Why are we going through this? Why are we experiencing this? And even, Father, when we get down to it, we get down to the depths of our heart, we even ask that question, why don't you love us, God? Truth is, Lord, we know you love us. We know that from the foundations of this earth, you love us. And we know that you are going to continue to sustain that hope that we need to persevere to the end. Father, bless this time, bless this congregation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Monday morning, I got an email. And it's one of those emails that I had to look at three or four times. And I did eventually delete it. But it said, you cannot spell stress without Merry Christmas. I'm like, no, you can't, because there's not enough S's to spell stress and Merry Christmas. And I continued to look at this email, and I was thinking, where in the world did they get this from? Because this is from a Christian health organization that I subscribe to that deals with a lot of healthcare issues, but also it deals with a lot of mental health. And what it was trying to get to is there's a lot of things missing when it comes to Christmas. As believers, we celebrate Advent. We celebrate the peace that God gives us. We celebrate the hope of his return. We celebrate the joy that we have in knowing that he came from us. But we also have to celebrate the love. And what this email was getting down to is the fact that people just don't feel loved anymore. I get that. I get that. And some of the statistics that they started spitting out, y'all know I love statistics, about the holidays, just kind of, it really shocked me. Like 41% more people will experience stress through the holidays. 30 to 40% more people will experience depression or anxiety. One out of three people will feel lonelier through the holidays. Grief intensifies by 47%. And 21% or more people completely isolate to cope with this time of year. I get it. I get it. Because when we think about our ideal life, our ideal world, let's just be honest. It's not what we are living in right now. Ideally, we want a time, life of no tragedy. We want a life of complete happiness. We want a life of peace and joy, all these things that we anticipate and celebrate in Christmas. And even we as believers look at the holidays in a different way. But these statistics, I want you to understand something about these statistics. These statistics were not talking about people outside of the church. These studies were done inside of the church. These are the people that know that Christ came for them. These are the people that know that Christ died on the cross for their sins. These are the people that have embraced this, have taken this in, and who depend on it for their salvation. And it brought this question to me. So if these are the people that are experiencing all these things, what are they missing? Better question, I even had to ask myself this. What am I missing? What am I missing? What am I missing during all this time of all this stuff happening to where I can't understand what's happened to Christmas? What's happened to Christmas? And you know, we've all got our things. We think the problem is commercialization. No, well, I agree. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, which has now become Cyber Week, Shop Local Sunday, the programs, the movies, the plays, they have helped to commercialize this thing that we call Christmas, but the commercialization really isn't the problem. Some people say, well, it's lost its meaning. Again, to some point, I agree with you. But the holidays only lose their meaning if the people who hold these holidays lose it. Jennifer and the boys, y'all know, they left me a couple of weeks ago to fend for myself. Some of y'all were extremely worried about me, and not trying to make them feel bad. But they went down to the beach, and y'all don't feel bad about me on that because I hate the beach, okay? I was like, psh, go. They went down to the beach to spend some time with their grandparents. And while they were down there, they told me that they were going to go to this pirate show. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I'd like to go to a pirate show, but I didn't get invited. But anyway, but they went to this pirate show, and while they were watching what was going on, eating their dinner, Jennifer started texting me. She said, this is so not what I thought it would be. So I'm sitting there waiting on a video. I thought it was going to get good and juicy. She said, they are telling the whole story of Jesus. Wow. A few minutes later, she texts, they just presented the gospel in this show. Guys, this is Panama City Beach, okay? The gospel's not presented much in Panama City Beach. And here's this show that people are paying to go to that is doing this. And I guarantee you, most people, they thought they were going to see swashbuckling. They thought they were going to see all this stuff else. And y'all got to see some of that, didn't you? You got to see fire? Fire! That's all you wanted to see, right? But also in the middle of that, the gospel is being presented. You know, Christmas really hasn't lost its meaning. We've lost what that meaning is. And I know some of you are saying, okay, Scotty, so why do you think things have so stressful and things have got out of whack? Well, I don't believe it's the how. I don't believe it's the commercialization of what we do. I don't believe it's the what. I don't believe it's the meaning. What I believe is the real reason Christmas does not feel like it should today is the why. Think about this for a minute. When we think about Christmas, what do we think about? Baby Jesus coming to this earth, right? Why? Why? I mean, have you ever thought about it? If the story stopped there, if the story of Jesus stopped with him coming as a child, would it have been any different than any other child that came into this world? No. No. It wouldn't have been any different at all. And sometimes what we do is we get so wrapped up with everything and focusing on the how, focusing on the what, that we really forget about the why of what it is we are truly celebrating. You see, this goes far beyond the meaning. This goes far beyond the how. This goes into the depths of what God's message is to us. And we find that message in Isaiah 53. Before we get to Isaiah 53, last week I started talking about a king by the name of Ahaz. We're going to do a real fast recap. Ahaz was the king of Judah. Judah was a kingdom separate from the kingdom of Israel. Judah would really be the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was ruled by another king. And then right outside of that was ruled by another king, and that was the king of Syria. So Syria and the northern kingdom had an enemy called Assyria. And I know that's kind of confusing, but Assyria wanted to attack and take the lands of Syria and the northern kingdom. So they developed a plan. They were going to come after King Ahaz, who is the king of the southern kingdom, or Judah, and they were going to take that land because more land, more people meant more power. So the first thing they do is they assemble their troops. They come after the southern kingdom, and guess what? They fail. They fail miserably. They don't even get across the wall. They fail so bad. And while King Ahaz should have been thankful and grateful for what had been done, King Ahaz goes into a point of almost depression. If you read some of the things that it talks about Ahaz in Chronicles and even Kings, this guy was exhibiting everything that we would call clinical depression today. He went grasping for everything he could, even after God had rescued them from the victory. When God rescued them from the victory, he knew that there would be another assault. So instead of relying on God, King Ahaz developed a plan in his mind. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to their enemy, which is Assyria, and I'm going to talk to their king, and I'm going to try to get their king to overtake them. That way, I ain't got to worry about them. So King Ahaz sends his delegation. The delegation gets there, presents all the gifts to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria takes all the gifts. He looks at the delegation and says, no, thank you. Be on your way. I don't want nothing to do with it. What happens shortly after that is there's another invasion. And King Ahaz loses the kingdom. Not only that, another king comes about. Told y'all about another king called named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man who faced this army again. There was a separation. Then this army come at him again. And Assyria was coming at them in a hard way this time. So Hezekiah was doing everything that he could in his power to fight off this enemy. This enemy called Assyria. And one night, Ahaz just lays everything before God in his temple and says, God, here's what we've got going on. Here's the dilemma. Here's the circumstances. We need you to take care of it. Many of y'all know this story, but we forget about it a lot too. Because in that night, 180,000 Assyrians are killed just like that. It wasn't no army. It wasn't no manpower. It was all the hand of God. So what do you think Hezekiah would be doing? You think he would be praising God? No, that's not the way it went. Hezekiah, just like Ahaz, got a little bit depressed and started thinking about everything else that was coming about him. And it was during that time that he came down with a serious illness, an illness that almost led to his death. But miraculously, he turned back to God, and guess what? He was healed. Well, after he was healed, he wanted to brag a little bit. So all the kings from all the area were coming to see King Hezekiah and congratulate him on being healed because he almost died. One of those kings was the king of Babylon. And what he did is he took that king of Babylon around all of the city and said, I want you to look all that I have done. Shortly after that, Babylon invades Jerusalem, the northern kingdom, Syria, all of Assyria, and becomes, Siri thought I said Syria. Everything that they ever knew is life. It's gone. All that they had ever lived for had been taken away from them. I want to ask you something. What questions do you think went through their mind? Same questions we have. God, why has this happened to me? God, why am I experiencing this? God, have I not done this for you? God, have I not done that for you? Have I not done all these things, Lord, for you? Yet still, this is happening to me. And then comes the real big question. God, why don't you love me? Can we just get real for a minute? Everybody in here has asked that question. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care who you are. Everybody at some point in time of their life has asked that question. God, why don't you love me? Well, what is crazy is the story that is put out in Isaiah is the story of God's love. And truthfully, it is the story of really why we celebrate Easter or Christmas. Not just Easter, but also Christmas. So in Isaiah 53, I want you to follow along. I am going to be brief. You're not going to believe me, but I am. Isaiah 53, I want you to follow along with me. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. And he has no stately form or majesty that he should, that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was, I want you to pay very close attention to the language. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised. And he did not, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was, again, pay attention to the verbiage. He was pierced through the through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by him, his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render him as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore his sins, bore the sins of many, and interceded for their transgressions. You remember last week when I told you this was wrote? Who remembers? What is it? How many years before Christ was this written? About 600 years. Can I ask you a question? Why is it written past tense? You ever thought about that? 600 years before Christ, and this is written completely in past tense, as if this all had already happened. And I know some people say, well, this may have been talking about Isaiah. No, it was not talking about Isaiah. Well, this may have been talking about Hezekiah. No, this was not talking about Hezekiah. Well, this may have been talking about Ahaz. No, this was not talking about anybody else. Well, Scotty, how do you know that? Because nobody else bore our transgressions and was stricken for them. Nobody. 600 years before Christ is even coming to this earth as a little child, Emmanuel, God with us, this is written. So you know what that means? This was already done. You see, we love the stories. We love the stories. We love the plays. I love watching the plays. Man, the play was awesome, Christy. You've done an amazing job. But when we see that play, we are in our minds reenacting a time of when Christ came to give his life for his people. But the reality is this, and we're even told by Peter, before the foundations of the earth were created, Christ was crucified for all of us. You see, we put a date on it. We put a date on it between 0 and 30 AD. That's the time frame which people argue about when Christ was crucified. When reality is, just like this was written in past tense, Christ's crucifixion took place long before then. And you say, well, Scotty, how does that make sense? I don't know. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. We are limited by time. We're bound by it. Every single one of us are bound by it. Here in about an hour, every single one of you are going to be hungry. Why? Because in time, you have trained your body to be hungry at certain times of day. That's why we eat when we eat. We're bound by time. Not only that, we're bound by years. 48 years. Man, that don't even sound pretty, does it? 47 years. That don't even sound pretty, does it? No, it doesn't. But at the same time, here's the reality of that. We hold things in time. God doesn't. God is not bound by time. God's not bound by these things that bind us. When he says that he bore our sins, bore being past tense, he did it before we were ever born. Think about that for a minute. Before you could even ask the question, why doesn't God love me? He had already answered the question. Let's take it one step further. Do you think God loves Jesus? Do you? Come on, I need some confidence here. Why would he allow his son to go through that? Because what? Do we believe that? No, do we really believe that? Then why do we ask these questions? You see, everything that was happening to Ahaz, everything that was happening to Hezekiah, everything that was happening during all this time was to bring about this time, this point in time that we know of, that Christ came to this earth. Even though this scripture points out that even before that time took place, this was already set in place. This had already happened. This had already been done. So why is it that we have those moments when these crises enter our life, not if these crises enter our life, but when these crises enter our life, that we would ever ask God these questions? God, why are you allowing me to go through this? Look at what he allowed his son to go through. Did he have a purpose behind it? Yes. Did he have meaning behind it? Absolutely. Did he have love behind it? You better believe it. So if he allows Jesus to go through these things, and we know that he loves his son, why do we doubt him? You see, that's the gift of Christmas. It's not just the fact that Jesus came. It's not just the fact that in a little town called Bethlehem, he sent his son to be born. It's also about the fact that he sent his son with a purpose. And that purpose was to do nothing more than to show us how much he loved us by sacrificing himself for the atonement of our sins. You see, if we just talk about the baby and we don't talk about the meaning behind the baby, we lose it. We lose it. And this is why Christmas has become the way it is. We lost the why. We lost the why he come. The why he come is you. The why he come is me. The why he come is the person next to you on either side. The why he come is the world. And you know what? I know it's easy to lose hope in this world. But this Christmas, I want to ask you to do me this. Don't lose hope in the love that he has for you. Long before you ever born, long before this world was ever created, God spelled it out. I love you. This is what I've done to show you how much I love you. This is how much it's going to cost me. And this is your Christmas gift. Father, sometimes some of the deepest things in this study that we call theology are actually some of the simplest things as well. You've showed us, Lord, how deep your love is for us. You showed us, God, that even before all the chaos entered the world, even before sin came to this earth, you already had it covered. You show us in your scripture, Lord, that this wasn't just something that you had to hash up to make up for a circumstance and situation that took place in man's life, that this was your plan from the very beginning. And while we still cannot understand all that that comes with, Lord, we can understand this. The story of Jesus is the story of how much you love us. And we know, Lord, that we will go face so many things in our life. But we also know that Jesus faced a lot as well. Things that he didn't deserve. Things that wasn't his to take. But he took it anyway. Why? Because he wanted to give us the best Christmas gift, Lord, we could ever get. And for that, I want to say thank you. Father, as we enter in this time of reflection, as we enter into this time, Lord, I pray that you would help us to resonate with the one simple truth. You love us. Regardless of what we're going through. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in his glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.